It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship, and happy, happy Sabbath to you. God is good. It's a wonderful Sabbath, brothers and sisters. It's the 15th of the month. May God bless you and keep you today. Cause his face to shine upon you. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And what was the other one? This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. At this time, my wife will, undreamed of, will have our opening.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time to come together on your holy Sabbath, to be able to worship you, to be able to open up your word, and to be able to allow your spirit to teach us the things you would have us to know. So we ask for that to be done, Lord, in accordance with your perfect will, as you anoint the words of our pastor and feed us this morning. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ, our King.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about
it's about time.
Amen. Our title today is From Prison to Prime Minister. From Prison to Prime Minister, let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you very much for this morning. Please be with us as we see the providential hand of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, this is Genesis 41, and it's a very, very powerful story. I will tell you the story of Joseph, which spans several chapters, is my favorite story in the Bible. And it is one of my favorites, or is my favorite, because it teaches us lessons of patience. It teaches us lessons of trust, of perseverance. We're going to see even the first verse is extremely insightful. Notice what it says. It says, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. 2 full years. Now, what is it talking about? Well, if you go back to the previous chapter, he had just given the baker the interpretation of his dream, and unfortunately, he was hung, but the butler was restored to serve Pharaoh. So he asked the butler if he would speak favorably to him of Pharaoh when he got back, and as soon as he got back in his position, he forgot all about Joseph. Have you ever been forgotten and neglected and so on and so forth, my brothers and sisters? So the point being made is that God wants us to understand that God's plans know no haste and no delay. And Joseph was being tested. He had to wait 2 full years after he made that simple request to the butler. And it says, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. Verse 4, and the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored fat kine, so Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them, and the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my fault this day. What was his fault? He just left Jacob under the bus. I'm sorry, left Joseph under the bus. Joseph had interpreted the dreams. He was restored. He got happy. He just forgot all about Joseph. So God allowed him to forget. God may have given him amnesia, brothers and sisters. The Spirit of God works even through the fault. Even if God didn't give him amnesia, God knew that if he had spoken to Pharaoh, it may or may not have moved Pharaoh. So what? Okay, so some Hebrew in jail, you know, gave you your interpretation. Well, you're back, so whatever. But the timing of Pharaoh's dream and the butler's statement when Pharaoh was troubled, it meant a lot to Pharaoh. You see, my friends, God is in control of the affairs of life. He's in control of your personal affairs. And when you understand that, God orchestrates, but the devil tries to block, intimidate, cancel out, prevent you from getting the blessing that God wants for you. And so that's why it's always important to just follow the Word of God, friends. Follow the Spirit's leading, even when you don't want to, even when you can't see how, because you'll miss a great blessing if you don't. It goes on to say, "Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house." Now remember, the captain of the guard is Potiphar. Remember that? "Both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, an Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard." Did you hear that? He was an Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. See, it's all very clear. Potiphar was captain of the guard. Joseph was put in the prison of the captain of the guard. So God simply had Potiphar simply, Joseph couldn't run his house, so he let Joseph run his prison, okay? If Joseph was guilty, he would not have had a rape or attempted rape. He would have executed Joseph, but he knew Joseph was innocent. He was just too proud and too cowardice at the same time to state that he knew Joseph was innocent and let him be out of jail. "And he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself, changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh." This is nice because it shows that God is reasonable. And even though God had done all of that, given Pharaoh those dreams, he still had Joseph kind of clean up himself and shave himself up a little bit. You know, I think that's a nice concept. We pray as though everything depends on God, and then we go to work as though everything depends on us. Make ourselves presentable, make ourselves seen in the best light, being wise when in saying whatever we say or refraining from saying whatever we might say. "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean flesh, such as I had never seen in all of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up on one stalk, in one stalk full and good, and behold, seven ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears, and I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it unto me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. You see, brothers and sisters, God loves kings. God loves presidents. God loves monarchs. God loves legislators. God loves judges, people in high positions. God loves them. And sometimes, even though they don't even know God, he will give them dreams. And then he will have his people come and help to interpret the dream that they might know what God is about to do. You see, God wanted to show Pharaoh who the true God is, you see. And so that's what he did. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin are an ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. See, he did not try to hide who God was, and sometimes we as Christians, we get ashamed of our faith, you know. No need to be ashamed of your faith, brothers and sisters. I am so happy that I'm a Christian. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. They can call me a fundamentalist, whatever. You can call me any name you want to. The bottom line is I just believe the Bible. So if I'm crazy enough to believe that God will do what he said he will do, that I'm crazy enough to believe the word of God, you can call me a fundamentalist if you want to. But the point being made is that I know that God is true and God is love and God will do everything right and God has already won, and that we are to be faithful and we are about to face a major crisis. And so the crises that we face today, brothers and sisters, in our personal lives are just to prepare us and give us more faith for that greater crisis, the mark of the beast crisis, which is to come, my friends. It is coming. The Bible said it's coming. The Bible says that the United States will make a carbon copy of the policies of the Roman Catholic Church. That means it will become a persecuting power. That's Revelation 13, my friends. It's Revelation 13. It's the second beast of Revelation 13, the United States. The first beast is the Roman Catholic Church. All Protestants used to believe that, friends, but the Bible says that they would eventually wander after the beast. And so they have forgotten that the Roman Catholic Church would burn you to ashes if you had a piece of scripture in your pocket. They forgot about the women whose bellies were ripped open with their kids because they studied the Bible. They forgot about people who lost all their land. Brothers and sisters, more atrocities took place in the Dark Ages from 538 A.D. to 1798 A.D. than took place in slavery of Africans here in America and around the Caribbean and other areas. More atrocities took place in 538 A.D. to 1798 A.D. than all the horrors of the Holocaust. But yet, do we have monuments? No. The Lord has allowed the devil's plan to, because God wants us to have faith. So the devil has tried to erase that history. And most Protestants don't even know. Most Protestants don't even know why they're Protestants. You a Catholic or you a Protestant? Okay, well, if you're a Catholic, that's all right. We don't hate you. There's nothing wrong with Catholic people. God even loves the Pope himself, but he's not God on earth. No, the Bible says thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment, my friends. And in the Catholic Bible, if you're Roman Catholic, you will find that your church actually changed the Ten Commandments and took out the commandment that said thou shalt not bow down to idols because Catholics bow down to idols. And it's wrong, friends. That's paganism, and it's not supposed to be. So they took that out, and they split the 10th commandment into two, so they still have 10, okay? So that is how it happens. But we love you if you're Roman Catholic. Now, if you're Protestant, you probably don't even know why you're Protestant. The word Protestant has the word protest in it, protestant. It's pronounced Protestant, but the bottom line is you have a protest. What are you protesting against? I don't know. That's because the devil has it that way, that we have forgotten our history. The protest that we protested against was the coming together of church and state, where the government would make religious laws. Well, what you see today is people who I agree with the push against LGBT idealisms in our schools and push against abortion, which is killing a baby and so on, an unborn child. I believe in those pushes, but what you'll find is that you'll see them trying to make political moves to try to force these beliefs on people. And I believe that we should push for freedom, you know, that we people have the freedom of choice. But you know, we have to be careful. No, and I will say this. I need to step back a little bit. You need to understand there's 10 commandments. it's wrong to adjudicate and legislate regarding the first four, okay? No other gods. Don't worship idols. God's name in vain. Don't forget the Sabbath, okay? Those are the first four. God does give them the power to adjudicate and legislate regarding the last six. So it's not wrong for them to make laws against abortion because that's the law against killing. It's not wrong to make laws against LGBT because that deals with the seventh commandment, purity of sexuality, okay? So I need to backtrack on that. However, connected with those movements, brothers and sisters, they want to bring in certain area elements of Christianity and force them upon everyone. And that's what we're going to see. And that's the problem. They call it the moral majority. The moral majority, that's the entity that's going to push for a Sunday law, which is a problem because then that begins to legislate and adjudicate regarding the first four. Okay, so the devil, if we don't understand these principles, we'll overstep our bounds, okay? Nothing wrong with the seventh commandment and trying to make sure that killing and sexual violations, the sixth and seventh, sexual violations and killing of various sorts is not legal. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we start talking about bringing God back into the country, eventually, if they don't understand the principles, and the Bible says they will not, they will push for things that bring honor back to the Roman Catholic Church. You see, the Bible says that this beast has a mark, and the Roman Catholic Church says that their mark of authority is Sunday worship. That's what they say. One of these days, as we study, I will read every one of their statements to you, brothers and sisters, so you know I'm not making it up. But one of them says, I pretty much know it by heart, it says, Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible, and the transference from Saturday to Sunday of the day of worship is proof of that fact. That's what they say boldly, that they are above the word of God, you see. So you have to make a choice. That's why we worship God on the Sabbath day, on the seventh day, because the church is not above the Bible. It is subservient to the Bible, my friends. All right, let's get back here to our statement here. So we're talking, Joseph is now in front of Pharaoh, and he's telling him the interpretation of this dream. It says, behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. Okay, let me just read the verse before. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, brothers and sisters, let me share something with you about this verse that we're just reading. Because it was doubled twice, okay, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So Pharaoh saw cows, fat cows. Then he saw skinny cows. That's a doubling. And, of course, the skinny cows ate up the fat cows, and they were still skinny. Then Pharaoh saw fat corn. Then Pharaoh saw skinny corn. And the skinny corn, blasted by the east wind, ate up the fat corn, and it was still skinny. And so two corns, that's doubling. But he showed the dream twice, meaning you got one with corn and then one with cows. A doubling twice, two corns, two cows, but he saw it more than once. In that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will surely bring it to pass. Now, you've heard me say this before, but let me do something here real quick. The Bible is a intricate web of truth, a beautiful intricate web of truth. We use this verse because there's a verse that teaches you how to study the Bible. It's in Isaiah 28, verse 10. It says, precept must be upon precept. Then it says, precept upon precept. That's a doubling. Then it says, line upon line. Then it says, line upon line. That's a doubling. Therefore, you have a doubling twice. When you see that, that means the method that we use to study the Bible, and I'm not going to get into that right now, but in depth, but it teaches that everything is consistent in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and that we should understand that God is consistent in the teachings, in its principles, okay? So he's not going to tell you one day to remember the Sabbath, and that it's sanctified, and of course never tell you he removed that sanctification. And just because you see the brothers breaking bread on the first day of the week, you make the assumption that the Sabbath is done away with, okay? That is inconsistent with how to study the Bible, because God is saying from Genesis to Revelation, precept is upon precept. You can stack the books on top of each other. They're all consistent. Then you move to line upon line. That means you check the line above. Let's say you're looking at a particular verse, that's a line, and then you read above it and below it to get the context of that. And when you understand these two principles, you will understand why there's so many different denominations, because some people take one verse and then just make that the gospel and make that the focus of their thing. So for example, since we're just dealing with the Sabbath, and we spend time on the Sabbath, brothers and sisters, because it's the one teaching that has been attacked by the enemy, okay? It's the one teaching that has been attacked by the enemy. If it wasn't attacked by the enemy, we wouldn't have to worry about that. We wouldn't have to focus on it. But you see, it will eventually be a test for the world, because the Bible predicts a national and then worldwide Sunday law when things get much worse, and they're getting worse. We're seeing more famines. We're seeing more pandemics. That's pestilence, the Bible says, that we're seeing wars and rumors of wars, Ukraine and so on and so forth, or others in the Middle East. And we're seeing what they call the result of, you know, climate change. But all these things, brothers and sisters, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And don't you think it can't affect you. We're here in the United States of America. God has blessed America, friends, but America is turning its back on God, and we're seeing the results of those sinful ways. It will be as in the days of Lot. The Bible says that Jesus will come. What would happen in the days of Lot? There was a massive push for homosexuality. Jesus is about to come, my friends, and all of the things in Matthew 24 and Luke 17 have pretty much almost been fulfilled. And so we're coming up on a crisis very, very soon, and that's why we have to get this message to the world tell people about Jesus, friends, because Jesus is the only one that gives you peace. Jesus will be the only one that gives people peace in the midst of a storm. God never promised that we would not suffer. He never promised that we wouldn't be persecuted. Joseph was in prison. We know for more than 2 years, because it was 2 years from the time that the butler got his dream that Pharaoh got his dream. You see? And so God doesn't promise that we will never go to prison. But if we go, if we're with him, it's because he wanted us to go, because he has something he's going to do that's going to be powerful to glorify his name. But brothers and sisters, God has kept many people out of prison through his miraculous grace and mercy. And it's only if he feels that you would be more effective on the inside that he would allow you to go to prison. Do you know that? If God doesn't want you to go, he's going to work a mighty miracle. We have to pray as though everything depends on God, and then we go to work as though everything depends on us, and we are going to watch God do a mighty thing, friends. Let's keep reading. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So what I wanted to tell you in this commenting on this weave of beautiful truth is that when God doubles twice, that means it's established by him and you'll learn it quickly. Okay, so the method that we teach of how to study the Bible, it's a method that you can learn quickly, and it's a method established by God. And I will tell you, churches mess up because they don't. And I'm going to tell you, every major denomination, I'm not talking about the big, I'm talking about the major ones, whether there be Sunday or Sabbath, to a certain degree have fallen for this trick of the devil. So let me give you a simple principle. If you have to reject, and I want you to memorize this simple principle. It's not a scripture, it's a principle, but I believe you'll find it to be biblical. If you have to neglect or reject anything that God has said, the position you hold is a false position. Whatever you believe, it cannot be truth. If you have to neglect or reject, let me repeat, I usually say reject. If you have to reject or neglect anything that God has said to believe what you believe cannot be the truth. Okay? So just keep that in mind. Let me repeat it. If you have to reject or neglect anything that God has said in order to arrive at what you believe can never be the truth. Because if it was the truth, you would not have to reject or neglect anything God has said. It's really simple. But brothers and sisters, that's why you have Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, AME, Seventh-day Adventist, Mormons. You have all these different denominations, okay? I'm not saying one of them might not be right. But the point being made is there's so many of them because people don't know how to study the Bible. They reject or neglect something that God has said in order to believe what they believe. And so that's a powerful principle, brothers and sisters, and we learn that from this story. Because when something is doubled twice, it's of God, and you can learn it fast. That's why when we study the Bible, when we learn how to study the Bible, God says study with precept upon precept, precept upon precept, that's doubling. And then he said line upon line, line upon line. That's doubling twice, okay? And that means that method comes from God. And the method where you don't reject or neglect anything God has said comes from God, and you can learn it quickly. That's why when you follow that method and then you read everything in context, take a verse, read above it, below it, see what that verse is talking about, and be consistent, you will arrive at truth as long as you're led by the Holy Spirit. All right, reading on, brothers and sisters. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to take the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Now, you know, brothers and sisters, Joseph is not a stupid person. He knows God has blessed him administratively. And Pharaoh did not ask Joseph what to do about the dream. Joseph just kept talking. And Joseph's told Pharaoh, because, look, I've got my chance. I'm telling you what to do. I'm sure in his mind he said, Lord, I pray that he somehow gets me out of prison. I don't know that Joseph really thought he would be the one chosen for the job, but he wanted to do all he can to give Pharaoh the message that God had given him. This is what needs to happen. Now, Joseph knew he could, but this man is in prison, so on and so forth. But the point being made, brothers and sisters, is that God was working through Joseph, and Joseph kept talking, and Joseph told Pharaoh exactly what to do. It says, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store for the land, to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Now, brothers and sisters, the Bible is written the way it's written, but it doesn't always tell us every detail. I don't believe for 1 minute. I believe Joseph went back to prison. I don't think for a long time. But I believe Pharaoh He's smart. You don't get to be Pharaoh for nothing. I believe he looked at the records of Joseph, and I believe that Pharaoh inquired, and actually that is written in a book called Patriarchs and Prophets, if you have read the story. And he did a little private investigation on Joseph. Now, if he did private investigation, don't you think he would go to the captain of the guard? Who's the captain of the guard? Mentioned several times. Potiphar. Potiphar, man, what's up with this guy? What's going on? Why did he go to prison? Well, Pharaoh, man, you know, my wife yelled and screamed and said that he tried to rape her. And oh, really? Yeah. Well, why didn't you execute him? Well, I really didn't believe he tried to do it, man. Your Honor or whatever, Your Highness, Your Majesty, I just didn't really think he did it. And all I can tell you is that my house was administrated. No, it has never prospered like it prospered when he was running my house, man. I wish I could have him back. It was just too embarrassing. And then when I put him in the prison began to prosper. And that, the people in the prison began to, the prison started operating much more functionally better, you know. And all I can say is I have nothing bad to say about him. So I believe Pharaoh called and did some research on Joseph. Maybe he even talked to the butler a little bit. What was it like in there with him? He said, man, he was just always there to serve us. And he was the best prisoner overseer that we could ever dream of. And we were comfortable as best he could make us, and so on and so forth. So the bottom line is, as he did his investigation, then he came to his counselors and said, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Brothers and sisters, when you are connected to God and you humble yourself, God will sometimes, if you can handle it, give you what we call great changes of fortune. Joseph went from spoiled child to despised slave to chief steward in the house of the captain of the guard, to the prison with a life sentence, and then he became prime minister of Egypt. He was faithful in the good times. He was faithful in the bad times, brothers and sisters. That's the kind of Christian we need to be. No matter what, we will be faithful. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potu, Pharaoh, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. So this brother is 30 years old, brothers and sisters, and he is prime minister with a beautiful wife who I'm sure he took a little time. You know, he was an appointed wife. I'm sure she was beautiful, and I'm sure Joseph was pleased with her. And I believe he told her about the God of heaven, and she was converted. We don't have that information, but this is where we are. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, and the food of the field which was round about every city laid he up the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And can you imagine, Pharaoh was watching this, and he was saying, yes, this is true. This man told me the truth. And he sees that he has nothing but joy in his heart and confidence in Joseph, you know. Joseph, if he wanted to, could have said, and by the way, we need to take out Potiphar's wife. He didn't do that. Can you imagine Potiphar's wife now? I think she was a little afraid. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all the land, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was all over the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt, and all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because the famine was sore in all the land. Friends, when we are faithful, God will bring people into our atmosphere. He will bring people into your sphere of influence, because he knows you will serve him. I was telling some people, we have some health guests, some wonderful health guests that are here. And, you know, as we go out walking and as they get on the phone, they're telling people about their experience. God is bringing people into their sphere. And you see, God, they're giving God the glory about what's happening. Blood sugar is coming under control. Blood pressure is coming under control. Some weight being lost that needs to be lost. Other systems of the body becoming balanced, and people feeling better than they've ever felt in a long time, you know. So the bottom line is, God gets all the praise. We don't get any praise, but the point is, we were walking, and a couple of my health guests like dogs. I've never been a pet person. I'm not an anti-dog, but I've just never been a pet person. Some people just love to see dogs. They just get all excited about the dogs, you know, and they start talking to this couple about their dogs, and they start saying, hey, I'm at this place, and I lost so many pounds in so many days, and that's witnessing, brothers and sisters. You see, when you witness, some people think you have to give somebody some doctrine. No, people are hurting. People have sickness. People have needs. Jesus met the needs first, my friends, and then he won the confidence, and then he was able to tell people more about Jesus. That's God's plan. We've got to meet people's needs, friends. That's what a true Christian does. A true Christian isn't so excited about, oh, I've got to make sure they have all the doctrine. No, what you want to reach somebody, you need to. People's hearts are broken, and God wants to heal the broken heart. Isn't that song say, he healed the brokenhearted and set the captives free? He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. He's able. He's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. So, brothers and sisters, that's our message for today. May the Lord bless and keep you. We'll open the phone lines for a little bit. Let's have prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Bless us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us, Lord, and give us grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, friends. On Facebook, we are so happy. We've got South Carolina. We've got the country of Kenya represented. And on the call, we have Ohio. We have Ohio again. And that second, Ohio, my dear sister, we haven't spoken with you in a while. We just might want to give you a call at some point to say hello. We've got one of our newest family members from Pennsylvania. We've got Maryland. We've got Delaware again. We have Iowa. We have Oklahoma and Georgia. Anyone have a comment or question, press *6. We'd love to have you. And by the way, we will have our Sabbath service on Zoom today at 12 p.m. Sabbath service today at 12 p.m. on Zoom. So I want to mention something to you all so you all can just keep us in prayer. We will have a memorial service for my mother in, I believe it's in Dawsonville, which is out in the Atlanta area. It's a Sabbath afternoon, but it is a worship service. There is no funeral service, funeral procession. It's just going to be mostly sacred music, some memories that give God glory and honor, and I will be speaking. So if anyone wants to attend, let me know. I can get you more information on that. But we're looking forward to just thanking God for her life. You know, she was a wonderful mother, and I was very graciously blessed to have the honor, we were, of having her take her, go through her final days. She was here with us. We were her caregivers. So to God be the glory. Is there anyone that would like to share anything? Again, the phone lines are open. Just press star 6, and we'll take your call. We've got about 15 minutes. And if there is none, we'll just close out, and we'll see you all at 12. I am not sure at 12 whether or not after service we'll be able to have our sharing and caring. Not sure about that, but we may be able to. We do have health guests here, and we just want to let you know that. That being said, no one is in the queue. I'm going to kneel for prayer and ask my wife if she's available to close us out at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for the message today. We ask that you will continue to allow your spirit to teach us all that we need to know, giving us better understanding as we grow in grace, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We pray that on this day of holiness and sacredness that we'll take the time individually to be able to spend it with you, pressing forth our petitions. We know you are God who hears every petition. And we ask, Lord, that those that we put forth on this day, that you will bless them in a special way and allow them to be done in accordance with your perfect will. Bless every heart in a special way, and we ask for special healings to be granted for spiritual, mental, and physical. This is our prayer to you on your Sabbath day, Lord, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Well, I'm so sorry. We normally do remember the Sabbath. Honey, just go ahead and start that for us, please.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor the manservant, nor the maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that's within their gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.